want to remind everybody, Commission's friends and our friends at Paradise Worldwide Transportation. If you need a luxury bus, party bus, limo, airport service, they got an on-time guarantee. They've got actually full-time detail people that actually clean every limo and every bus after it's used. Top-flight local company that can service you anywhere, so you can call up and, you know, get a ride to the airport and get your ride from the airport on the back end and take care of anything across the country. They're also the proud parents of the No Excuses Tour to Tropicana Field, which is just a fantastic deal. You can get all of the information you need at ParadiseWT.com. That's ParadiseWT.com. They have an incredible summer deals special going on right now. You'll see the huge icon, Summer Deals. If you need a limo, you want to impress some babes and ramp up the action a little bit, ParadiseWT.com. They're going to take great care of you.
What can you say? You said it all.
I said it all. All right.
What can you add?
And another guy who always says it all when it comes to the Bucks, veteran Bucks beat writer, Roy Cummings, good friend of ours, Tampa Tribune beat writer, TBO.com. Roy, thanks for coming on with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys. How's everything at the station?
Can't complain. We're walking and talking, dude.
Yeah, I
but,
hear you.
But I'm surprised they haven't locked us out yet.
The day will come soon. Just watch it.
Yeah, that no surprise. Hey, Roy, you know, obviously the big news of the day is Eric Wright getting arrested for a felony DUI out in California. It's the new Schiano era. How do you think Greg Schiano and the Bucks respond to this beyond the statement that they issued last night? What's the next move?
I think you got to wait and see what all the facts are, and, you know, they're usually pretty good about that. You know, one thing I'll say, well, there's a couple things that need to be said here. First of all, it never ceases to amaze me the level of stupidity that some football players will, you know, fall to. You know, I just don't understand it. You know, as soon as they let these guys out for a month's vacation, it just seems inevitable. Somebody somewhere is going to get into trouble, if not several guys somewhere are going to get into trouble. So, first of all, it's just a darn shame that these guys just can't avoid these little mishaps in their lives that seem to put not only themselves but their organizations, you know, under a give them a black eye, and it's just really unfortunate. Now, that having said that, we're in a you know, time now where, you know, DUIs are handed out like speeding tickets. If you drink, you're running that risk. If you don't want to get a DUI, don't drink. And, you know, so before we rush to judgment and start making a bunch of noise about this and start calling them a bad character influence or anything like that, let's wait and see what the facts are. And you know, it'd be obviously so much better for this organization and for this player, you know, and for this coach, if this hadn't happened. But it did, and let's see where things go. They'll certainly weigh all the facts, and as they usually do, and we'll wait and see. One thing I don't think is we probably won't hear any big pronouncement saying he's innocent from the Buccaneers, a la Bruce Allen back in the day, and you know, and David Boston. So I don't think we'll hear that. I'm sure we'll wait for all the facts to come out, and it'll probably be a long process. A lot of us will probably have forgotten that this happened before the next move has to be made. It's interesting that he's got to appear in court a couple days before training camp starts. So I'm sure the first couple days of training camp will be very interesting as a result of this now, more interesting than they were going to be already. But it's, again, it's just unfortunate. But before we jump to conclusions, let's get all the facts and see where this issue really stands. And that'll be probably about a month before we get all that straightened out.
Roy, maybe you can clear this up for us. I'm sure you see the comments on TBO and your stories. I'm sure you get the emails. First thing out of a fan's mind, generally, when an incident like this happens, like, with that kind of money, why can't you get a cab? Now, I know at one point the NFL had a service that players could call virtually 24/7. Hey, I need a ride. They'd get a ride. Now, my understanding is that with the new CBA, that was done away with, and instead of the NFL offering a driving service or a ride service, that it's actually the NFLPA. Can you shed any light on that?
You know, those options are still out there for sure. And, you know, the thing is, you know, the league doesn't have to pay for a guy to get a cab. It's a decision. It's a personal decision. Mm-hmm. And he chose not to get a cab. Now, the thing we don't know if Eric Wright was drunk. He admitted True. To the police officers of having had some drinks, apparently, or a drink somewhere, you know, previously during the evening. And, you know, and I think it was under that admission that he was charged with the felony DUI. He didn't take a breathalyzer test, which these guys are pretty much coached to do.
Mm-hmm.
He avoided that. He avoided the field sobriety test because you don't want to fail that, and then you've got that working against you. So, you know, here's the thing. They don't really have anything to prove other, you know, that he was legally drunk. So again, and Steve, you know the law, you know, that aspect of things so much better than I do, although it seems like you got to have a law degree these days to cover the NFL. But, you know, again, a guy that didn't take a field sobriety test, didn't take a breathalyzer test, only admitted that he had a drink. I don't know. It could be very hard to, you know, for a felony DUI to stand up under those circumstances. But again, you could probably shed more light on it than I could on that.
Yeah, well, we have to really see the reports and what really went down. And, you know, there's until you see the papers and the arrest affidavits, who knows? But, yeah, there's a lot to work out, and California law might be wacky when it comes to every state's different with felony and how they handle DUI. So, you know, we'll let that play out. We're talking to Roy Cummings, a veteran Tampa Tribune beat writer, TBO.com. Roy, we talked to Steve White, former Bucs defensive end, a little bit earlier. And he was a little bit concerned or mentioned that, you know, we've got all new play callers, a lot of toys on the offense. And we got Mike Sullivan, who really is, relatively speaking, a new offensive coach because his background initially was in defense. And now he hasn't called plays and he'll be the guy taking the reins as the play caller. You know, what's your take on Sullivan and maybe how much learning curve he might get? And do you think that his inexperience will lead them to rely more on the run? Yeah, how do you assess what you think we're going to see from the offense so far?
You know, I think Mike has been around you know, long enough as a receivers coach and a quarterbacks coach the last couple of years, you know, to know what he wants to do with the offense. And I think that's the most important thing. If you've got a good directive from the head coach that we're going to be this kind of team, this is what our game plan is going to be each week, I don't think it's going to be that hard to call the plays. And my guess is that he's probably very well prepared for that, having spent, you know, a good 5, 6, 7, 8 years now on the sidelines with the Giants, you know, watching some pretty good play callers there. And again, I think the most important thing on the offensive side of the ball is just know what your game plan is. You know, a year ago, and you guys have written about this a lot, the Bucs, you know, claimed they wanted to be a running team, but it just seemed like, you know, and for one reason or another, it didn't always work out. A lot of times they were just, you know, they were behind in the score. They decided to change things up at halftime. You know, that was a head coach's call. They just didn't stick to their game plan. I think if they stick to their game plan here, you know, I don't think calling plays is all that difficult. I think they're going to, you know, most teams go into a game with, you know, 25 or 30 plays that they think work best for them, and they try them out, and if they do continue to work, they stick with them. So I don't think it's going to be that difficult of a transition for Mike Sullivan, nor do I think it's going to be that difficult of a transition for the defense either. You know, the good thing is you've got people, you've had an whole off season to get these concepts down, and I think with that, it shouldn't be that difficult of a transition for these guys to make.
Now, switching over to the defensive side of the ball, a few years back, when Raheem Morris came in, he and Mark Dominic pretty much decided that Jermaine Phillips would be the heir apparent to Derek Brooks as a linebacker, and that didn't work out. We saw some of that experimentation in preseason game or two and in training camp, and it didn't work. And they moved Phillips out of that role. Rondé Barber, you know, we hear that he's the safety and that's where he's practicing and he's going to be the safety, but how deep do you think that's really etched in stone? Are we going to see Barber for a couple of preseason games and maybe if he doesn't like it or it doesn't work out, he's back at corner? Or how committed do you think they really are to Barber at safety?
I think they're pretty committed to it. You know, I didn't see Rondé take very many snaps at corner in the practices that we got to see during the offseason. And, you know, part of that may be a result of the fact that he knows exactly what he's going to do at corner. But I get the feeling, you know, cornerback, let's face it, going into the draft, you know, one of the reasons that I think the Mark Barron move was actually a pretty good one is because, you know, they did have five cornerbacks on the roster at that time with NFL experience, starting experience, as a matter of fact. Rondé was one of them, but, you know, even take him away, you still got four cornerbacks who've started a game in the NFL on this roster now. So I think they probably feel that at this point it's time to make a transition away from Rondé at corner. He can still play the game. He plays, you know, in the box anyway and does a little bit of hybrid stuff as it is. So I think they're very committed to him being a safety, and I don't think that's a problem. I think the whole objective here, and Coach Chiano has talked about it several times, excuse me, is that, you know, he wants to get the 11 best players on the field on both sides of the ball. And there's no question Rondé Barber is one of the 11 best players on his football team on the defensive side of the ball. He was probably the best player on the defensive side of the ball all of last year. Certainly an indication that he should come back for another year, if not two or three. And I don't see him slipping as a result of a position change, because I don't think the position change is all that great. You know, when you're a slot corner and you're doing the things that he does, the transition to a safety in the box playing down low isn't that great. So I think they're pretty committed to it. I think Rondé will be pretty good at it, if not exceptional at it. And, you know, I think it'll give him a weapon on the defensive side of the ball. I'm anxious to see how it all works out, because I think it's going to really work out well for him.
I'm going to ask you a little non-football question for you, Roy. Well, with us on JoeBucksFan.com, Steve and I, when a rookie signs, we generally ignore it. And every once in a while, someone will write us, email us, Twitter us, like, hey, so-and-so signed. And my response usually is, it's news if he doesn't sign. But that brings us to Mark Barron. He is not signed. Is his agent just waiting for the pecking order to start being, you know, obviously guys ahead of him? How's that working out with the new CBA? Is it pretty much locked in? His salary, is that locked in? How's that play out here?
It is pretty much locked in, but there are some questions with the guaranteed payouts for those first round picks that agents are trying to they're still trying to figure some things out there. And with these guys, that's played into it a little bit. I don't think it's a big concern. He'll get signed. He'll be in, I'm sure, in time for the start of training camp. It's probably not an issue. You know, they certainly got Doug Martin done. But some of the higher guys have a little bit there's a little bit different makeup of the contract in terms of guarantees. And some of the agents are pushing the envelope a little bit there to make sure they can get as much as they can, make sure you're guaranteed throughout the course of the contract. So it's a real detailed thing that a lot of your listeners and readers would, you know, just get lost with the minutia. But the bottom line is, I wouldn't worry about Mark Barron. I'll be shocked if he's not in camp on the first day of for workouts. I'll be absolutely shocked.
We've been lucky enough to be talking here to Roy Cummings of Tampa Tribune, longtime Bucks beat writer. Roy, last question for you before we head up to our break here. You know, we've heard a lot out of the Boston Herald about the likelihood and possibility of a Chiano, Belichick, Bucks, Patriots joint practice. Have you heard anything more about that and what that, you know, whether that might actually happen, where it might be, and, you know, how do you think that'll benefit this team?
I haven't heard any more about it. I'm sure it's something that's probably been discussed. It might be an opportunity for, and I think it would probably happen, obviously, the week or 4 or 5 days at most before the two teams play down here in Tampa in late August or middle of August. And you know, my feelings on it, I think it's good. I think about that time in training camp, you know, you're looking at what I think that's the third exhibition game, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
But once you get into that part of training camp, it gets a little tedious. You know, you're kind of through it. You're over it. You really want to. You really want to start seeing some other teams anyway, even in practice. And the reason is, you know, the regulars aren't getting that much playing time in the exhibition games. The third exhibition game is usually the most important. It's the one where the regulars play the most. If they have a full week of practice against a team, somebody else, and they're going at it a little bit harder than usual, I think you're going to get a little bit better gauge as to what you're going to see from those guys in the regular season in that third exhibition. So I kind of like the idea. It would be even nicer if they could open up some of those practices for some of the fans let them in and see. But my guess is with the shroud of secrecy that Bill Belichick lives under, and the coach Schiano is probably going to, you know, throw over his program as well. We're probably not going to have that, but you never know. Maybe they'll open one or two of them up, and that would be some fun. But overall, I think there's some benefit to it. I don't think there's a whole lot of negatives. I think mostly it's a beneficial thing, and I'd be excited to see it happen. I hope it does.
Yeah, and hopefully we get to watch it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I guess we'll get our 30 minutes, perhaps, or whatever, but we'll get to watch them stretch, maybe.
Yeah. Hey, thanks so much, Roy, for taking time for us here. I know it's pretty much your vacation, and if there is such a thing for you, and congrats to all your great work on TBO.com. We'll talk to you again.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me.
No problem, Roy. Enjoy your fourth.
All right, come back to us. We'll be on the other side. We'll be talking more Bucks and Rays and some other stuff. 888-404-1010, 579-1010, or text the show at 44010.